support him, and we went out to a senior sermon celebration thing at Cheddar's, and Joel was there, and I said, man, we got to get you back in the chapel, and he was agreeable to do that, which is great, because, man, he brought a great message last time. Excited to have him here. He and his wife moved here from California to plant a church, and the church is called Bar Church in Southlake, or Trophy Club. Trophy Club, there you go. And they've been there for 5 years now and have, experienced the ebb and the flow and the joys and frustrations of ministry there. And it's been fun to watch him over the years and even send some of our students there, like Mike. So you guys are going to be blessed. Give it up for Joel Keeley.
All right. Thanks, Eric. So there's me and my wife. That's what I have my fro. I shaved that, but I love my wife. She's incredible, and her name is Kim, and we've been married a long time. There's her with her grandma. She visits her grandma every day. I don't know how she does it. She works at a pharmacy, and she was the Energizer Bunny for Halloween, which is a great costume for her. It's Kim Jong-il, which I think is sweet because that pose just, bam, like that. There's my son, John. He got engaged to his fiance there back in October. We were in Maui, and that's him in front of the Breaking Bad house, which is just a cool picture. He's also good at Photoshop, which that picture to me is so creepy. I just beg him. I'm like, John, dude, he'll send me these pictures from time to time. He's 29 and piece of work. There's my daughter, Laura. She's 25. She's a school teacher, kindergarten teacher. Her boyfriend, Zach, is yet to muster it up to come ask me, but they're about to get engaged. She was Elsa. She's got a great voice and leads worship at our church. That's our youngest, Emily. She's 18. She's in California doing the college thing. She's a 49er fan because we're from California. I know that hurts, but so does that. That's passing interference, guys. And just pick it up. No calls. What happened? No, nothing. Never saw it. There's my daughters, Laura and Emily, their dog, Lucy. It's actually Emily's dog, but Laura's claimed it. I love them. There's my diet regimen right there. That's how you want. Some of you are wondering, how does he get to look like that right there? There's a lion, favorite animal, and our church's theme this year is pray. And so we're in the season of prayer. I'm fired up about that. There's a baby monkey, because that's just cool, right? You got to throw that in. I lead Young Life. There we are doing the Breakfast Club pose. There's my boy Colby. He threw a pie in my face at camp. I love Young Life. My best friend Mitch, who helped my faith probably as much as anybody in my life. He's coming over cancer. And there's Billy Graham. And he says this: it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. And so hopefully today that's my job. I don't have to convict you. I don't have to feel this pressure. Like, you got to get. And yeah, cute dog. I forgot that one. How cute is that? Like, so small. And I didn't know it was a dog. Hey, that's my brother, Garen. And he is, probably would say he's a believer, but he's really, like, he just says there's a God, and it doesn't really impact his life. But the baby that was in the middle there is now three. Her name is Avelyn. And we found out 2 weeks ago Avelyn has leukemia. And so I'd ask you guys to pray for Avelyn and my brother. We've talked every day since August, just out of a fluke, and now God's using that for me to be able to share faith with them. One of the things that was alluded to by Tony is that preparation just means being available. The biggest thing is God's not looking for ability as much as he's looking for availability. And so I threw that up there, not because, if you're tired late at night in the dorm, let's crank that dude. Let's like blow him up or something. But I just say that if you follow Jesus and you watch Jesus, he just said, come on. And so I've always tried to say, if you need something, again, I might not be able to help. And especially from here, I'll just be like, oh, hold on. Hey, Eric, this person, whatever. I'll try to make connections. But that's my contact. So I want to talk to you real quick about just being average. And again, a lot of guys will try to inspire you. I'm just going to ask you to be average. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. That would be really bad, really weak. But who wants to be average? If you think about it, none of us, if I was going to stay in that, you'd be like, sweet, I can get my notes out. I've always wanted to be average, Like, look at this backyard. No one's going, dude, someday I'm going to have a pool. It's going to be average, someday. Look at that living room, man. That's off the hook. Like, no one wants that TV. Because it's, or that T-shirt, no one's like, check out my new shirt, dude. It's great. My shirt's from Costco. Dad, come on, man. Get those off. No one's waking up at night going, man, someday I'm going to be rocking this new car. What's the next slide? I think it's the sweet minivan. Is that it? I know the Costco shoes are sweet, but let's go to the next slide there. Oh, it's frozen? That's good. Good. Let it go, frozen. Come on. Okay. We'll be fine. Hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into 1 Samuel chapter 14. We'll see if we can get that restarted. I had a cheesy picture of a minivan and then some sweet 14-inch rims that were not—they were like dumb. But hopefully, you guys have your Bibles. Yeah, you can kind of feel that. Hopefully, you have your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 14. For those of you who don't have your Bibles, that's impressive. You memorized it. That's awesome. Yeah, there's the minivan that everyone dreams of. Look at those rims, man. Everyone wants those rims, right? So we'll start in 1 Samuel 14. If you don't have it memorized or don't have it with you, I did put it up on the screen. A story that's a great story about Jonathan and his armor bearer. We're going to walk through it in our time together today. Hopefully, God's word will work on your heart and it'll take care of what God has for you today. I'll just tell you this, for me, I went average and I was like a loser, and then God used me to do some things in life. And so my dad was an alcoholic, left when I was 6. I suspended every grade, 7th through 12th, dropped out of high school, kicked off of 2 junior college campuses. I was playing baseball, and the coach said, "You got to go to class." And I'm like, "Why?" And he's like, "Student athlete, it's not one or the other." I'm like, So I finally ended up getting fired from Costco, which, again, how does that even happen? Like, and if you've been fired from Costco, no offense, but that's bad. I just got fired from Costco, and I was with this girl I shouldn't have been with, and just being an idiot, and it was just a jacked up 18-year-old life. And I called my old youth pastor, a big guy named Fred, who 6'6", black guy with James Earl Jones voice, and I said, "Fred, man, my life sucks." And he said the words that changed my life. He said, "Jesus won't mean anything until he means everything." And up until that point, Jesus meant something. I had some belief in him, but I never followed him. He didn't impact my words, my thoughts, my actions, the way I treated girls, the way I respected authority, the way I lived my life. He had no effect. Just, it was a belief, but there was no discipleship that went with that. And life changed from that moment on for me. I began to read the scriptures that night, and I said, "Oh, man, you got to get baptized." I went and got baptized. I said, "Hey, mom, you want to come see me get baptized?" She's like, "Nah, it's cool." And it was just me and the preacher and this gypsy secretary lady with long hair and like 50,000 arm rings and or bracelets. I guess that's what they call them these days, arm rings. I got baptized. I ended up going to ACU. I knew one guy. Is that guy Mitch. I drove across the United States from California to Abilene, and God began to say, "Okay, just as dumb as you were here, I've got some things that are bigger than you and better than you ever could imagine this way." And so the Bible talks a lot about just God can work with Saul as Saul, and he can work with Paul as Paul, but the lukewarm thing, and that's a place we can camp out at. So hopefully today we will not be talking about average. We'll talk about something that's above average, a faith that is way above average. So 1 Samuel 14, here we go. It says, "Now a detachment of the Philistines, the forever enemy of God," right, of the Israelites, had gone out to pass at Michmash. And so one day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, and his young armor bearer, so young kid, said, "Come on, let's go over to the Philistine outpost the other side. Let's go for a walk." But he did not tell his father. So verse 2 says, "Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migan with him were about 600 men." So Saul's got 600 men. They're doing nothing. Just hanging out, camping, being average, right? Saul, the king, the one who should be fighting the Philistines, just hanging out underneath the pomegranate tree, just doing their deal. Among them was Ahijah, and he was wearing an ephod, and he was the son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, and the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, and no one was aware that Jonathan left. So it gives a little detail about them just hanging out, but no one knows Jonathan and the armor bearer take off. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez, the other Sinai. One cliff to the north toward Michmash, the other to the south towards Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men." And then this is where it just gets stupid. Like this part, and again, I'm just going to, it's just a crazy story. He uses the word perhaps. If I'm going to go take on the Philistines, then it's me and like the team equipment manager. I mean, that's the armor bearer. Like, he's the kid at recess that checked in the kickball. He's not a warrior. Like, he holds the sword, but he doesn't fight anything, right? He's just like the team equipment manager, like clipboard and maybe a sack of, you know, footballs or something. But like, this guy says, "Let's go over by the Philistines, perhaps." The sentence starts with perhaps. It just gets dumb from there. He's like, "Perhaps the Lord..." Well, I got to pick it up here. It says, "Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or few." The armor bearer's awesome. Like, he's dope. He goes, "Do everything you have in mind. Good idea." I mean, at some point you would think the armor bearer would be like, look, I don't really want to fight. That's why I'm the armor bearer. Like, there's a bunch of them up on a cliff. And we're down here, and you want to go to them? And your biggest thing is like, perhaps God will help out. Like, maybe. Okay. Sure. Sounds like a good idea, Jonathan. Let's keep going. Do all that you have in mind, as armor bearer said. Go ahead. I'm with you in heart and soul. I got your back. So he says, Jonathan said, come on. We will cross over toward them and let them see us. Okay, again, I'm no military buff or history expert, but this is the stupidest military strategy in all of Scripture. If you have a bunch of fighters up on a hill and there's two of you and one's the equipment manager, you're not, your only hope is the element of surprise. Like, let's camp out, go up at night. I brought my knife for illustrations. Don't freak out. It's kind of a dangerous weapon. I didn't ask for permission to put on campus, but let's go up at night, like, cut one throat and then run and hide in the bushes, and the next night I go Navy SEAL stuff, right? Like, the only hope you have is the element of surprise, and these guys go, let's go out in the middle of everywhere, middle of, and let them see us. And Jonathan's armor bearer's like, great idea. Beautiful plan. I mean, here's what it says. You think I'm making this up? It says, Jonathan said, come on, we'll cross over toward them. Let them see us. Hey, over here, big guys, with an army, a bunch of people, two of us down here on the bottom. Hey, here's what he says. If they say to us, wait, we're going to come to you. We'll stay where we are and not go up to them. Well, okay. If they come down and try to kill us, we'll just hang here. It'll cut out the whole trip up the mountain, right? But if they say, come up to us, we'll climb up, because that'll be our sign that the Lord has given them in our hands. I need a bigger sign. If the army says, hey, enemies, come on up, you and the ball boy, let's go. Oh, thanks, God, there's a clear shot. Like, no, that's a dumb sign. Like, I'd be like, that's not a good sign, Jonathan. Dumb, bad. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Hey, we're down here. Look, said the Philistines. The Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan, his armor bearer. This is, take note, this is not like friendly. Come up here and we'll teach you a lesson. It's not like grab your number two pencil and some paper, like we're going to have class. No, this is old school. I'm going to teach you a lesson like that. This is not, hey, let's have class. Come on, let's discuss. No, we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan says to his armor bearer, watch that. Jonathan says to his armor bearer, right now the back row's thinking, he's nuts, and the front row's going, I should have sat in the back. So Jonathan says to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. He might have given them to the hand of Israel, but there's just two dudes that they don't even know that they're gone on this little excursion field trip walk. So right now, 600 dudes are hanging out underneath a pomegranate tree, and another bunch of people are up on the top of the cliff, and Jonathan and the armor bearer, one soldier, one equipment manager, are now climbing up a cliff. It's a steep cliff. Geography would say it, but even the story bears it. Listen. Jonathan, verse 13, climbed up using his hands and feet, the armor bearer right behind him. Okay, now, this is happening in real time down on the earth. They're climbing up a cliff. They're scaling a cliff, two guys. And the Philistines are up on top of the cliff, you know, going, how many we got down there? We got one, two. They're coming up to fight. There's two of them. And it's at that point I think God does the Texas version of, oh, bless their hearts. Oh, look at them stupid guys. Oh, aren't they cute going up there to imminent annihilation? Hey, Gabriel, they've climbed up a tree, and they're now sawing off the limb, but they're sawing the wrong side. Can you make the tree fall and keep the limb suspended? I mean, what happens next is just crazy what God does in response to their courage and their faith. So check this. Then Jonathan and his armor bearer climbed up, using hands and feet, the armor bearer with what was right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of half an acre. So Jonathan's walking by, Philistine warriors, fighters are just dropping, and apparently the Holy Spirit's jumped in and is pinning them down because they're not moving, because the equipment manager is now forgot, he's lost his mind. He's like, oh,
this is my time. And he's puncturing dudes. Bam, get him going gladiator on fools. Yeah. And I don't know what Jonathan's doing. You have to wonder, what's Jonathan? There's another one. He's right over there. Get him. Like, you go. Like, there's this crazy scene. The warriors of the Philistine army are pinned down by the Holy Spirit, by God, by the angel of God. They can't move. And Jonathan, the warrior, is doing no fighting. And the armor bearer is losing his mind. 20 dudes just slaying him in a half an acre. Blood. Now he's got blood all over his face. I mean, it's like 300 stuff. Ah, I'm finally pulled. I made the team. He's just killing people. I mean, that's just a crazy story. Man. First attack, Jonathan's armor bearer killed some 20 men. It says Jonathan's armor bearer. Jonathan didn't kill anybody. He's just like walking by. Oh, you stay still. You freeze tag, right? Boom. Kill him. Kill him. That's going down. Then panic struck the whole army. The whole army. The Philistine outpost has been struck by panic from God. Those in the camp, in the field, and those in the outpost, in the raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Saul's lookouts and Geba and Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, "Muster the forces. And let's see who's left us." When they did, it was Jonathan and his underwear who were the ones not there. Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God." At that time, it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priests, the tumult in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priests, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all his men assembled and went to the battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. That's just crazy. I mean, you know, the armor bearer's covered in blood, going 300. Jonathan's pointing out people. And the rest of them are killing each other. And Saul rolls up on this and goes, I mean, just think like this. Like, you heard the phrase, bad news travels fast. I mean, this is good news. Like, they're down in the valley. They see up on the hill this crazy thing happening. And the word goes from the top to the bottom, from the top of the hill to the valley. God is doing something crazy. And in fact, as a little reminder, the whole earth shakes to come into agreement with, I'm on this. I saw the courage. I saw the faith. I saw the refusal to be average in the lives of Jonathan and his young armor bearer, and I am going to get their back no matter how stupid that strategy was. I am for faith. Amen. What happens next is even stupider. This is crazy. The Hebrews who had, verse 21, the Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone up with them to their camp went over to the Israelites. So Hebrews that were speaking Philistine, worshiping Philistine gods, dressing like Philistines, acting like the world, blending in with the enemies of God, the opposite of God, those ones finally go, "We are on the wrong side. What was I thinking?" And they start taking their clothes off like they're changing, dropping swords. "I'm going to go fight with the Russians." I mean, they leave the Philistine alike. Right. They're killing each other. This is crazy. "I'm going to go hang out with them. I'm an Israelite. I'm a Hebrew. What was I doing? I used to be a Christian. I used to follow God. I used to live like this. And now I'm over here dressing up like everybody else, hanging out like everybody else, thinking like everybody else. What am I doing?" And two people's faith and courage caused a bunch of people faking and hiding. And on the other team, to come back home because of their faith and courage. I mean, they're changing sides real time. That's going down. But that's not hard compared to what happens next. What happens next? You can get the backslider. You can get the person that goes hot to cold. The person that used to be this and now they're just crazy this. That person will come back like Saul to Paul. It's all in them, but this is the one that gets me. When, verse 22, when all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined in the battle in hot pursuit. See, a lot of us, dare I say some of you, you're not on the team that God wants you to be on. You're not doing God's will. But you are not joining the Philistines. You're not living crazy. You're just in the middle, halfway between the valley and the top, and you're in the caves and you're hiding. You go to church. Your parents your professors think, oh man, that guy's a Christian. Like, but your heart and your life and your thoughts and your actions when no one's around, like, you're in hiding. You haven't picked a side. And for the courage and faith of two young dudes to change the people that were content with the middle ground, that were content with hiding, and turn them into warriors that are now on hot pursuit, that is what faith and courage does. That's what true discipleship and following Jesus will produce. It will not only bring people from one side to the other, it will pull people out of hiding and call out complacency and apathy and say, no more, pick a side, quit hiding in the middle. And that's what happens, man. It's crazy. And here's the text. So on that day, the Lord saved Israel, and the battle moved beyond. I mean, that to me, that's a story right there. That's just a great thought, what God did through the faith and courage of two guys. And I got to thinking, and I thought some more, because it was a rare thing for me to be thinking, so I had to kind of mark it down. I journaled about me. I'm actually thinking. What's that mean for us? What's that mean for you today? As I prayed, as I asked God, what he'd have me say, I think he says this. For some of you, you just need to leave camp. It doesn't matter if everyone else is hanging out underneath the pomegranate tree. Everybody else is looking like a warrior, dressing like a warrior. You know, they're in the army, but the army's not on the offense. The army's just hanging out underneath the pomegranate tree. Some of you just have to sneak out. You're going to have to go find the Philistines and be like, hey, let's go. Let's do it. Like, you're going to have to go pick a fight for something that God's got on your heart. Some of you, you've just been dressing up like a Philistine. You just hang it. I mean, you make no bones about it. I don't know. I don't believe that. I don't act like that. It's my thing. I just come here to play sports. I just came because my parents are paying for it. It's my deal, right? You're just on that side. But there was a time when your heart loved God and your heart trusted him. You might need to just drop your sword and say, what the heck was I thinking? I'm on the wrong side. And some of you, you're just hiding. You're in a hill or a cliff of comfort, complacency, apathy, routine. It's weak. When other people start getting after it, then you're going to jump in and join in. When things are easy, that's weak, but still, come out the hill. Come out of hiding. Join the fight. Be a person of faith, not of just middle of the road, lukewarm, make God want to puke kind of life. That doesn't do anything. And some of you, you're going to be like Jonathan's armor bearer. You're going to hear Jonathan's plan. You're going to be inspired by the word of God. And for the first time in your life, this day, this week, this month, this year, this semester, you're going to pick up a sword. And you're not going to be content with watching other people do the work and the will of God. And you're going to start slaying the giants and the enemies and the things in front of you that God says, you go. You go to China. You go to Haiti. You go to your classmate. You go to your teammate. You go to your family member. You go across the cafeteria or the ocean. You just get out and go. This is your time. I'm going to pray for you for that to happen. God, thanks for today, for our time together, for what you are doing through the Holy Spirit right now. Wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves in the story, I pray that you would find your way into our heart and begin to work and woo, and that we would become who you've asked us to be. Forgive us for faking or hiding or rebelling. Help us to fight and trust. I pray that the bravery of the young men and women in front of me and the faith of the people before me in this place right now would be such that good news travels fast and others would be encouraged by the incredible work you're doing in and through them. I pray it for the people I love and through the name of Jesus above all others. Amen.